Mr. Brown, Reel 3. Now, when you got to Egypt, your first move was up to El Kassassim camp.
Yes.
And you were there not long, and then on to Portside.
Yes.
Anything about that period? Because you were on your way to Cyprus, weren't you?
Yes. No, we just waiting for arrangements to be made to shift.
Any training?
Very little.
So nothing
special. Like
nothing special about that time.
No.
And then on to Famagusta, across to Cyprus. Do you remember how you got there?
I remember, got by ship. Can't remember the name of the ship now, but it was a marvellous captain.
In what way?
In what way? We landed there at night, and he, in fact, the boat come in the harbour. It was a big harbour, Famagusta, a lovely harbour. And he come in, and he backed the boat alongside the quayside like that. Never seen anything like it before.
And
it was just like parking a bus.
Now, what about in Cyprus? What were you doing there? You're only there, it seemed to have been there about a month.
Me. We did all the time there, not training but working. We made roads. I was driving at Bedford. We used to come to the shore from Augusta and pick sand up and take it back. That's when we were building the aerodromes and the roads. And we were working for the contractors, more or less.
Now, which brigade were you attached to at this time?
151.
The Durhams?
Yeah, the whole lot. Durhams and that, the brigade was the whole lot. 154 and the 151.
And that's 50th Div.
Aye.
And did anything happen in Cyprus? Did you, other than just building roads and rest, was that it?
We did all the time, travelling cartons down and up from the shore of Famagusta. Went there that long.
Then back to Egypt.
Yes.
And again, you seem to be on your way straight away to Palestine.
Yes.
Do you remember to Haifa? Do you remember much about that?
Yeah, well, in Mount Haifa, we were there for 3 days, I think. We weren't there that long at Haifa.
Nope. Nothing special.
No.
And then on your way into Syria?
Yes. We went to Baalbek. That's an Iraqi border.
What were you doing there?
As regards what we were doing there, I don't know. We were told to go then, we went there, that's all. That's, in fact, the place that we went to is in Syria, in Baalbek, had been a former French Legion barracks. We were there a very short time.
But you did nothing to it?
Oh, no. In fact, I failed to see why we went there.
And
we came back out, the sailors back to Haifa.
And then back to Egypt again?
Yes.
So all this period since you've just been moving?
Moving, yes.
To any purpose that you could see?
No.
So what happened next then?
What's the...
The next one, just to help you, Sidi Bish and Beni Youssef in Egypt.
Well,
they're both camps outside.
That's travelling up. Them's camps that was like staging camps. And they rode up to the desert.
Amaria, Mersa Matruh,
yeah.
Sidi Barani.
Yeah, that's right.
On your way. Did you know what where you were going?
No. When you're in the army, you do what you're told. And if you don't get told, you don't know. They always, now and again, get a whisper like that. You're going to go someplace, you've got friends, and that's how it comes off. But other times, you more or less follow the man in front.
And what were conditions like travelling up into the desert?
Well, all right, just it was hot. It was, well, we hadn't been used to heat, so we just got climatised with it, and once you got climatised with it, It was a good enough.
And you were just driving up?
Yes.
And so nothing special again?
No.
In that period?
No.
And you were heading towards the, towards Knightsbridge, really, weren't you?
Yeah, that's right.
Which is just a crossroads, isn't it? It's not a place.
No, it's a mountain ridge. And the way it got Knightsbridge named, that's where the guard's position was when the action started. In Knightsbridge is the guard's place, regimental place.
Now, what do you remember when you pulled into to the Knightsbridge area? What happened?
Well, we just pulled in, as I say, in the box. The three boxes made the brigade, and I was in two boxes. And when you logged, you all took your at night time. You took your positions in the box, and that was the position you all looked to when you went to and you stayed there till you were told the shift. I mean, you had a order that the gun at each corner, 25 pound at each corner for support. They were supposed to be, they'd just started using boxes. Previous to that, there were columns. Well, this was supposed to be the answer out.
Now, who was your artillery unit? Do you know who they were?
We had the. Well, they were local because we had the Northumberland Guards with us. And the other ones would be the area from Newcastle. If you did, they were all local, you see.
So, what you settled down in this box system,
yes.
And what happened then?
Well, you only settled down in the box when you got there. And then you didn't shift. Because the box was classed as a defence position. See, once it was down, it was there, the action started.
And you got to Knightsbridge on the 20th of May?
Yeah.
So, and the German attack was the 27th, I think?
Yeah.
So, aye. For 7 days, you were just in position?
Yes.
So you were just doing nothing then?
I was with the CEO. That was when I told you that.
Tell us on tape, because that's who was the CO?
Colonel de Gras.
Now, was he the brigadier or the colonel?
No, he was the colonel of the battalion.
And what was he like? Can you give us an idea? Can you describe him and what he was like as a bloke?
Well, he was extraordinary to us. We were ordinary people, while he was more or less. And a little bit higher up in everything, because I said that he came to us from either the Rifle Brigade or the KRRs when we come back from France, and he wrote all the manuals for the light weapons for the War Office, so he was well thought of. And by his actions. In fact, I drove him when we went up the desert that time when we were there. His father was off sick 2 days.
So you weren't driving an armoured car at that point?
No, I was driving a Bentley. Because I was driving the accident.
What happened? Why weren't you on the armoured cars anymore? Or was that just one of those things?
When we went back, we didn't get the armoured cars.
When you went back where?
When you went to Egypt.
So you'd had them in England, but when you went out to Egypt, you got.
We got the transport.
Bedford.
Bedford, yeah, and I was driving the adjutant. And then, as I said, this when we went up the desert, the 5 days were up there, or 6 days. The sales driver took part, and I drove the car for about 3 days.
Now, what was he like?
He was a lovely man.
In what way?
Well, you could tell he was a well-educated fellow. And when he took them up, they went up to the minefield, and he explained like what was expected to happen. And he was in control of the box, the three boxes, the brigade, which was a 50 day. And he went up and he explained like what. In fact, when we went up the last time, the Germans, you could see where the Germans were in the ravine. He said, oh, we'll get them sorted out tomorrow, but we'll start first.
So, you were just driving around in trucks. So, what was the role of your unit then? You couldn't do reconnaissance in a truck, could you?
No.
Or were there other reconnaissance vehicles with your unit?
There was other reconnaissance vehicles. They took over from us. We went up.
So the motorcycles had gone?
No, we still had X Company, Y Company.
Okay.
No, that's right. The motorbikes were no good over the desert. We kicked off with them and then left them up.
And what did you got instead?
We just went back to infantry.
So, what the situation what exactly was happening then on the night of the 26th, 27th, as far as you were concerned? Gratz had seen these Germans in a ravine.
Yes, and he said, oh, "Well, at least we know where they are, right? So we'll be able to have a." Sort them out tomorrow, if we start it first. This was for one morning. And of course, the third box, that's the one I was in, they come to them first. They came through the minefield, which we didn't expect to do. The minefield was a mile and a half wide, but they got through. And then they started on the box, and we broke the box up. What was left of the first box went in the second box. And they didn't break that one up because the Northumberland was gone when they were anti-tank and had the 6-pounders. They just got the 6-pounders to go with. They made good fit of them then. And that's the situation with the Dawes.
They were much better than the 2-pounder, I understand. The
2-pounder didn't have the range. Or the power. Well, the 6-pound, then they didn't know the same. When we went up there, we went up for the Grants. And the Grants had a bigger gun on that with the Yankees. And the Jennies didn't know the Grants, and that was when they got the shot, right? But they got over. And that was a big battle, the city was there.
So the first box broke up and they came back to the second box. And you were in box two and that held.
Yes.
So what happened next? What were you doing during this?
After I was driving the accident, I went with the doctor. And a big hole in the rocks. And that's where he had his first aid station. And I was helping the doctor during the after that.
Doing what?
Just helping the patients. That was all. So we had the shift. Okay.
What happened next?
Well, I was took prisoner shortly after that.
I thought you'd take prison on the 6th. That's 9 days later.
So, well, I was with the doctor all the time up till then.
What were you doing exactly? How were you helping?
Well, people that was coming in, just helping them to get ready, or I'll go out and bring someone in. Yeah. Just bring gloves in, I couldn't get there on their own.
What was the main cause of injuries or wounds?
Oh, it was rifle fire.
Not shrapnel.
It's shrapnel too. Shrapnel was the main point right through. And the tanks, when they filled through the box, the number of tanks I had.
So what do you remember of actually being taken prisoner? How did it all happen then?
Well, the box, the two boxes went into one. Went up in three with the brigade. First one got broken, then the second one. The two went into one. And then the last box, Fancy, surrendered. And when they surrendered, that was it. And we had the third, when the two boxes went into one, the last box, it was surrounded from dinner time. And they didn't surrender until about 4:30. We had tanks on four sides, just running shells into it. And then about 4:30 there.
What was that like for you?
Well, very like everybody was underneath as far as it could get. There was no, and it, about 4:30 the white flag went up, and that was it. Finished. And they just collected us up.
How did they treat you?
They didn't treat us too bad because, anyway, they transferred us the next day or the day after to the talents. They weren't as good.
That's June 7th, the evening.
Well, that's the time from.
How did the treatment differ from the Italians? How did they treat you differently?
Well, because the Germans treat you the same as what they were. But the Italians treat you quite different at the time from.
How did that show itself?
Well, if you asked for something, you wouldn't get it.
Now, from the looks of this, you're very short of water.
Yes, well, I was up the desert. Water, all that had to be taken. You allowed a pint a day. And if the water card didn't come, you didn't have any.
But this is when you're prisoners, I mean.
Well, that happened before when you were natural. I mean, if the water cart had to come up, and then
if it stick to any of your prisoners, because you know we've moved on.
Yeah.
When you were a prisoner, you were very short of water.
Yes. Because you weren't short of water; you just had to take water when it was given to you.
Because in your notes it says you traded your ring for a mug of water.
For an extra one, yeah. You could buy anything if you had the equipment. It was a good thing and all, it come off. It was good to me, by a sailor. The bullet said, oh, the killer on it. Cracked good. I mean, when you're in a prison like that, it make any difference to you. It was a word you wanted.
Some lads were dropping out, I see.
Yeah.
And what state were you in yourself?
Well, I was managing all right, just weary, that's all.
You got back to Timini.
Timimi.
Timimi, sorry.
Yeah. And then it was more or less a camp like in that, you got a bit more attention, like, sort of thing.
And what did you have with you? And did you manage to bring any kit at all with you, or were you just in your uniform?
Just in my uniform.
Now, from Tony, you went by truck to Derna.
Derna, that's right.
And what do you remember of Derna?
We went there very long, I don't.
From there you went to Benghazi?
Yeah, I went to Benghazi. We were only there about 2 or 3 days.
And what food were you getting?
Just a bit of soup or something like that. When they decided to give you that, you just had to take what you were given. You couldn't expect anything, then it was finished. That's how you kept yourself. You accepted what was given to you, and you knew you weren't going to get any more, so that's the way it was. Granted, it wasn't enough, but it just made you feel that you'd had enough when you got something.
What was morale like amongst you and the rest of the lads?
Well, it was pretty reasonable. You couldn't do anything else.
So, keep on, you were moving down throughout June.
Yes.
To Tahuna, where...
Tahuna, yeah.
Remember it?
Another camp.
There a couple of days. Anything, yeah. Anything about that?
No, it was pretty little because it was in the woods. It was shelter, but the heat.
And then take Tahuna, trick Tahuna.
Trick Tahuna, that's another place, like, but the same thing, more or less in the same area.
And anything else about this period?
No, just what's done there.
So you just kept moving along the coast?
That's correct.
What's the next thing you do remember?
Well, I can't remember. Quite a bit longer than them before we got on the road.
Campo Benito?
Yeah.
And what was life like there? Did you settle into a routine?
Yes.
And what was it?
Just normal, but it was, then we know it was in the woods and it was pretty good, reasonable, shelter-like.
And what was the routine? Because it might have been normal to you, but it's not normal now.
No. Well, you just got a meal when they decided to give you one, and it was just like you just took it and you were going to get something, and that's, you knew you were in a camp and you were going to get something, so you accepted that.
How did you spend your day?
Just lying around, more or less.
What's the next thing? So what about the trip over to Italy? You went from Camp Benito.
To Naples.
What about that trip? Because that's quite a risky trip across
the... Well, it was risky, but it was all right, like, but we're down the road, and there was a storm when we got to port, and we stayed on the ship all night, like, we didn't get straight off, and there was a storm, and we all got wet, the water was pouring down the road. That's what I think it was. We shifted from Naples, and that's the camp we went over.
So you got to Naples, 21st of October, yeah. 1942, yeah. And Sforza Costa, is that PG-53?
Yes.
Yeah. Now what was that camp like?
Well, it was the first camp I'd been in, so we couldn't see what it was like. It was reasonable. In fact, it had just been built as a sugar factory and hadn't been used, cement. And we were all put in a board on the bottom and a bed on.
What do you remember of your time there?
Oh, I got a job later on before we come out. I was working in the cookhouse.
What did that involve?
Preparing veg, things like that. Yeah. So it was all right because you get next to them.
And how did the Italians treat you?
Well, that's about, we didn't have any, we only had contact with the guards. And if there was no trouble, there was no guards. I mean, they didn't walk around the camp, they were at the gates. Things like that.
And what was a typical day like? Do you remember from when you got up?
Well, it was just like any other day. We knew then it would be a better day because we were going to have grub. Grub was the main thing in them days.
No recreation, then?
No, no. We never got out. Just on, say, one at the parade, wanted something or wanted to know something, you had to line up. But there was, oh no, once you're in the camp, go like that.
Because a lot of people talk about games of football, lectures, sport.
Yeah, when you're in a static camp.
But PG-53 is a static camp.
It was just
you were
a
there.
Transport camp, sort of thing.
But you were there nearly a year.
Yeah, I know that. But we never out the gates.
So there were no recreations, no lectures.
You just made your own recreation, like whatever if you could. But no, there was no.
What would you do amongst yourselves then?
Just see if you can get anything to read or anything. Or eventually talk about drugs.
Okay. So what's the next thing you remember?
Oh, I just the next thing I remember, that at the end, we just woke up one morning and there was no guards there. The gates was open.
That's when Italy had surrendered.
And lots of blokes got the idea, right, oh, there's nobody there, so we'll go. But they didn't get very far. Because they went in the morning and by dinner time the jellies was there. And then we're back in camp.
And what happened next?
Well, we weren't there long when the jellies took us to Germany.
How did the Germans treat you during that journey? Because you were on your word to via Marlberg to Landsdorf.
Yeah.
What do you remember of that? Of how the Germans treated you? And on the
not too bad, because there was quite a lot of us, and you know what? I mean, you might get one decent job, but you might get half a dozen of the opposite. But we didn't do too bad. Like, and it was like the same when you had contact with the Germans all the time. Just the same as the English. That was good and bad. And you just had to take things as they come. Because even when we're on the train, when it stopped for any time, some of our blokes, they nipped out and tapped the German up, like, and he let them go to the driver, and the driver of the engine would put the steam tap on and we'd make it blow. But that didn't happen that often, but it did happen. And that was perhaps as reasonable.
And where were you going? You went to Marlberg, Stalag 4B first.
Stalag 4B, just outside Innsbruck.
You were there about a month?
Yes.
What, 2 weeks, 3 weeks? Yes. What do you remember of that?
That was a good camp because I think that was the first camp we got Red Cross parcels in.
What were Red Cross parcels like?
What were they like? You've never seen anything like in your life. I don't know. We used to get English and Canadian. One of them was in America. Well, the Canadian parcel, we get the tin of bacon, the tin of jam, corned beef, tin of salmon, big pack of biscuits, clear, powdered milk, tea, coffee. And each parcel of that, he got 50 cigarettes. Yeah, I didn't smoke, but cigarettes was money. It's legal.
So what would you exchange them for?
Pardon?
What would you?
Anything you can get. Grub. Yeah.
Anything else about that camp? How were the German guards in comparison to the Italian ones?
Well, we're only under them about a week. A very short time.
Then you went to Lambsdorff.
Went to Lambsdorff.